Welcome back to Abundant Culture Podcast,
where we dissect the mindsets and tactics of the true beasts of business.
People like Gary Vee, Grant Cardone, and Warren Buffett.
All to create a blueprint to experience life more abundantly. Hey, everybody, it's Joe here. Welcome back to the Abundant Culture Podcast. We're so glad to have you back again this week. Today, we're talking about something that is a very unique topic. We're not sure how many churchgoers we have that listen to the podcast on a week-to-week basis, but going to church is something that is very near and dear to my heart and very near and dear to Jasmine's heart as well. We've been going pretty much every Sunday for a couple years, and we've been members of various different churches in the past. And what we've realized is that some churches, for some reason, seem to thrive and grow and flourish, while others seem to struggle a little bit. They struggle to keep and maintain members. They struggle to get new members. And we don't know why that necessarily was, but we're interviewing somebody today who knows why that is and knows how to help with that. He's an expert at marketing your ministry and getting your ministry to grow and also getting people more engaged with the ministry. So we're going to be talking about all those different topics. So get ready to listen to and learn from our good friend, Brady Shearer.
Hi, Brady, and thank you again for coming onto the Abundant Culture Podcast. We are super, super excited to have you this week because I saw you on Instagram and I saw everything that you were doing and you just seemed so awesome. So I had to ask you to come onto the podcast. But before we get into like the business side of things and the church marketing, we have to ask you, how did you get into business? Like, what's that backstory?
So I went to college to be a pastor. Flew across the country. I'm from Canada. My girlfriend and I moved from Ontario to Alberta, similar to moving from, let's say, New York to Montana. And we started fresh, got engaged, got married, and went through Bible college together. And it was in about third year of Bible college. I was studying to be a youth pastor. I have my degree in youth ministry and theology. And I started getting really excited about this idea of online business. And I was following some folks at that time who were running online businesses. And I loved working with churches, but I started to realize after a few internships that full-time traditional vocational ministry, as we call it, probably wasn't the best fit for me. And I didn't want to force myself into something that I knew wouldn't be something I could excel at. And so I tried to take what I was learning as it came to theology and applied it to the world of online business. And what happened was I started this internship at a church and they were like, okay, here's a camera and we need a website and something should be happening on Facebook for us. Go. And so I was just kind of, you know, dropped in the deep end and I was picking up everything as I went. And the more I learned, the more I realized, look, I am going to be the prototypical person for so many churches. And maybe it's the youth pastor, maybe it's the worship pastor, maybe it's the church planter themselves who is in charge of all of their everyday duties, but then they also have to figure out digital in the online world. And so what I did was, as I was learning it myself, I just began to teach everything that I was learning as I went. And so Pro Church Tools, the company, began. ProChurchTools.com, set up a WordPress blog, started blogging, YouTube.com/ProChurchTools, started a YouTube channel, podcast, all of those things. And as we began to teach and share helpful information, more people began following. So we built an email list and eventually, you know, that turned into products. And now we're a team of about 20 across multiple locations. And yeah, it all just started in that living room, didn't even have an office, back in our one bedroom apartment, 14th floor, newly married.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I think that that beginning resonates with so many of our audiences and listeners, and even us, honestly. We know how it is to start something fresh and something new from, you know, one bedroom apart. Well, ours was two, but still
fancy.
Very, very small beginnings. And I think that the biggest and brightest things really, really start small most of the time. So I think on your website, you mentioned something about the biggest communication shift in the past 500 years. Can you tell us more about what you were talking about when you kind of said those words?
Yeah, for sure. So if you asked me, like, what does your business do? What is Pro Church Tools all about? What I would say to you at first is we exist to help churches navigate the biggest communication shift in 500 years. Because church attendance is declining, we are living in a brand new digital world. If you just think about the companies and apps that you're super familiar with nowadays, whether that be Facebook, Instagram, Netflix, Uber, Airbnb, none of these platforms, Google Maps, even existed like 10 years ago. Yeah. And now it's hard to imagine life without them. And the reason for that is because we're living through an unprecedented technological shift that is affecting every single industry, and churches aren't immune to this. And if you think about 500 years ago, that is relating to the printing press. It was the first time that we could have information more freely available to people because we could take info and print it on pieces of paper, bundle it up in a book, and then people that had never had the Bible before, let's say, were able to read through scripture for the very first time. And this is what led to the Protestant Reformation. And still to this day, the most printed and most popular book of all time from that printing press is the Bible. And so even followers of Jesus and the church have a history of using new tech for the purpose of sharing hope and sharing purpose through Jesus. And so now what we're trying to help churches navigate is this tricky new world. And what's amazing about this time that we're living through right now, and I'm so grateful that I was born in 1991 when I was, you know, I had no control over that, but I'm really grateful that I was born then, is that we are now able to take the message of Jesus that has the potential to bring hope into so many people's lives. And we can share it with those that we couldn't have previously. And maybe that's just people in your community, if you're a local church, but even on a global level, similar to the printing press, people can now receive information in ways that they couldn't before. It's more affordable. It's more effective. Of course, it's new territory. And when that happens, it means unfamiliarity. It means a little bit of discomfort. And we're all resistant to change to a certain degree. And so everything that we do is to help churches navigate these murky waters because, like I said earlier, the person in charge of this at a church, it's generally someone who has no formal experience, no formal training, which makes it difficult. And so a lot of the times we default to just doing what we've always done. But the danger in that is, like every industry, if you just stick with what you've always been doing, you know, we could go the way of Blockbuster, where it's like, well, this is working right now, and we're not going to take a big risk. The other option is to go the way of Disney. You know, they were able to reinvent themselves on the fly. And we saw that with Disney Plus in November and Bob Iger, the CEO, leading them through that. You know, change is possible, but it's not always easy. And we're here to help churches every step of the way.
That's absolutely amazing. So in your opinion, do you feel like you mentioned before that there was churches, maybe individuals who are a little bit apprehensive to the changes that are happening in the way that we communicate, in the way that we share things, and in the way that we share the Word of God. In your opinion, where do you think that apprehension and that hesitation really comes from? Because I see, kind of like you said, I mean, there's companies popping up every single day that are based in tech, and they fluently understand social media, even though, like, you know, algorithms and things of that nature are always changing, but they understand it. And I come from a background where I grew up in church, but I never really understood church, and I never really clung to it until I found a church where, you know, they utilize social media all the time, and it was kind of more relevant to the times, almost, or it seemed more relevant to the times, you know, in my opinion at that time. So where do you believe that some of that hesitation comes from with, you know, upgrading, you know, as a church in the way that you communicate?
Well, it's human nature to be resistant to change. We like things that we're already familiar with because it makes it more comfortable. And if you just think about, you know, maybe a culture that isn't so set in stone as ours is, you know, think about, you know, our ancestors, the people that came before us, previous generations. If you tried something new, it didn't just maybe mean spending $1,000 on Facebook ads and failing. It meant a lot more, you know, dangerous things. Like when we think, yeah, we live in North America, you're in the States, I'm in here in Canada. People had to immigrate here, and they brought their families over across the ocean and started a new life. And as those pioneers were starting, it was like, okay, if they landed where I live in Canada, we're as far south in Canada as you can go, but it ain't not warm here right now. And then they planted things and then winter came. They're like, well, we did not expect this. And then maybe all their crops failed. And then next year they had to adjust. And so I like to use that analogy that we are pioneers in a new digital world. It's like most of the physical land on Earth has been discovered and has been settled. But on the digital landscape, like we're all just figuring this out. You know, Facebook is sitting in front of Congress and they're saying, you know, how are you letting these things happen? And they're asking questions. And Zuckerberg is like, do you not understand how the internet works? And at the same time, Zuckerberg is like, look, I just tried to start a platform that was, you know, not so, to put it like nicely, like it was about rating women's attractiveness. And now it's like this massive multi-billion dollar organization that if you think about the users on the platform is like the biggest country on Earth. And so even someone who started Facebook could never have imagined how big of an impact that it had. And so why are churches resistant to change? Well, I don't want to put it all on churches. We're all resistant to change to a certain degree.
For sure.
Churches are uniquely disadvantaged in a few ways. One of them is the age of the leader at an average church is in their mid-50s to upper 50s at this point. Nothing wrong with a senior leader of that age, but if you're asking that person to take the mission of the church that's been around for, let's say, a quarter century, and now implement that in a digital landscape, well, they're not digital natives. So they would have to do a lot of extra work to know as much about digital as I would. And so the people that are in charge aren't necessarily the most apt and skilled of navigating this change. So that is, like, from a starting place, a difficulty. The other difficulty is that because of the rise of the internet, we've seen direct contributions to decline in church attendance. There are a number of reasons for this, a myriad of different ones. One of them is that, you know, if you grow up now in a place that's not a massive urban center, a massive city, a lot of the times you would just grow up in your small town, you'd stay in your small town, you just go to the local church, cultural Christianity existed to a strong degree. Well, now with the internet, we are being exposed to different ideologies, different cultures, different ways of living, which is leading to deconstruction of faith across millennials at a much wider degree than we saw with our parents. And we're seeing with, you know, with Gen Z, they're not being so accepting of just taking what our parents told us and saying, sure, because we're hearing other people speak differently. It's causing us to think, well, oh, well, maybe this isn't as true as I thought, or what does that mean in this context? And so that's leading to cultural Christianity's decline. It used to be where you could just pretty much set up a church on any corner where there was a certain population and your church would be able to exist and sustain itself financially. But what happens when the demand suddenly drops and you have aging leaders that aren't able to navigate? To use that Blockbuster analogy again, you know, I don't know if it was the same where you grew up, but pretty much every corner store, every convenience store where I grew up, depending on what you call it, rented movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you ran a corner store, you were like, we can just gain some extra revenue by renting movies along with selling, you know, Slurpees, slushies, and gummy candies and smokes. And so they just put them up there and maybe you'd rent a movie there. And then suddenly no one rented movies anymore. And if you were a corner store, it's fine. Just don't rent movies anymore to people. But if your entire business model was based off that, you know, Blockbuster could not navigate the change, nor could any other not as big movie renting franchise. And so they are no longer in business. And so churches are kind of facing something similar when the demand for what you're offering drops and cultural Christianity disappears to a certain degree and people aren't just going to church because, and your entire financial model is based off of people attending church and tithing, and your senior leaders are of a certain age where they can't necessarily embrace digital to the degree of someone else, this is kind of creating a perfect storm that is presenting very real challenges for many churches.
Definitely.
That, and as you were saying that, I'm thinking about, because we live in Chicago, so I'm thinking about like when we drive through Chicago, there literally is a church on like every corner. Well, at least in the south side of Chicago anyway. Mm-hmm. And you don't see a lot of cars like in the parking lots when you drive past or anything. So it does, like, I can even see that churches are dying. And it's so fascinating, like how you just, you know, explained that.
Yeah. So in your what trends are you starting to see that churches are starting to pick up to really combat this decline? Because I see And because of my upbringing, I saw one church where, you know, it was pretty much the same amount of people all the time. And then after a while, it started to shrink a little bit. And the average person in there was probably like in their 60s. And then when I got older, I started going to this church where the average age is probably 30, maybe 40 something, possibly. Mm-hmm. But it's like it grew so rapidly to like, you know, over, you know, thousands of members. So what are the things that you propose that people do to really combat that shrinkage and start turning it into actual growth in their membership base?
Sure. I mean, there are so many different tactics and strategies that you can begin to implement across digital, from social to web and digital advertising and content creation. And we teach about all of those things for free, prochurchtools.com. There's like hundreds and hundreds of different things step by step that you can implement. But the prerequisite for any of that being successful is to understand the mission of your church, what you're trying to accomplish, and then calibrating how to properly measure that. And this is another issue that we're seeing churches navigate on the fly. A lot of us don't necessarily know why we exist as a church. We just know that church is important, and we started one because there was plenty of churches on every single corner in Chicago, and like we always needed more churches, and I grew up in church, and I liked it, and I'm ready to be a pastor. And we kind of just go through the motions. We do things because we don't necessarily understand the reasoning behind it. And again, common to human nature. It's not unique to churches. But what we always try to ask churches is, okay, what are you trying to accomplish? And at its core, every church is trying to do something similar. It's the Great Commission and the Greatest Commandments, that being helping people to love God, love others, make disciples. We can say it in different ways. We can create a pithy catchphrase and slogan, but at the end of the day, that's our mission as a church. Unfortunately, the issue is that the primary metric that we've used to measure if we're succeeding in that or not is church attendance. And in 2020, that metric on its own as the primary indicator is very problematic and shallow. Because just as an example, church attendance does not necessarily care at all about the existing people in your church becoming more like Jesus, because it can't measure that. All it can measure is if there are more people this year than last year. And it can't indicate at all if whether, let's say, Joseph, who sits in, you know, row 7, is closer to Jesus than he was before. Is he a closer follower of Christ? Is he demonstrating the traits that a disciple would? Well, church attendance can't tell you anything about that. And so what we always present is this new way of tracking church health and church growth, and that is the measurement of next steps. And attendance would be one next step, but it's maybe one of 12 or 24 that a church should track to get a more holistic understanding of the trajectory, whether they're declining, inclining, or staying static. So other next steps to consider would be giving. It would be volunteering. It would be small group attendance. It would be the number of people that are connected to your church in any vertical among different demographics. And that would help you isolate, oh, looks like we're reaching people that are 50 plus a lot better, and we have almost no one that's 20 and under. You know, how do you highlight different blind spots that you may not be aware of? It would include all of your online things that you're tracking, whether that be social followers, it would be your email list. Anytime someone takes a step forward intentionally towards Jesus, that's something that we want to track. Because what we don't want is passive spectators that are just being consumers. And we know that's a problem in the North American church right now, where people will drive up and they'll sit through a 60 to 90 minute service and then they'll go home. Did that make them anything more like Jesus? We don't know. Because if all we do is track attendance, we can't prove that. Once we recalibrate that measurement and we're tracking, let's say, 12 to 24 different next steps, and we do that for 3 months, we can get a baseline of where our church is. And then we can begin experimenting with these new different tactics and strategies and then look for the next 3 months. And if we see certain increases in, oh, we got more baptisms, we got more giving, we got more attendance to small groups, we got more people signing up to volunteer, we got more kids in the kids ministry, now we can begin to trace those increases or decreases in next steps to a specific strategy that we experimented with. And that'll give you so much more valuable feedback, because what's the problem is, like, I'll say to churches, hey, you should try something like Facebook ads. And they'll say, well, you know, we're not too familiar with that. We've been doing mailers for the last 20 years. And, you know, one time someone came to us and they said that they saw our mailer and now they attend our church to this day, which is a great anecdotal story. And I'm totally supportive and happy that that person found Christ through, let's say, a mailer. But if we're trying to make large-scale organizational decisions, we need more empirical data that's on a large scale, that's not just based in anecdotal evidence and stories. And the great thing about a more holistic measurement system is, like I said, you can look at increases or decreases and then directly trace them to things that you implemented. And then you can do more of what's working and less of what's not. And that is the simple philosophy to begin turning around a declining church or to begin gaining traction and momentum with a church that's been static for a while.
Wow,
that's really cool. And I like that you mentioned, you know, tithing, getting more kids in children's church, mm-hmm. all those other different types of things, because I guess I came into the conversation thinking it's more of an attendance thing or how to go from 100 to 200, 200 from, you know, to 2000, whatever the case may be. But I like the fact that your company helps track not only the growth of the, you know, attendance of the entire church, but also the growth of the groups inside the church, the individuals who, you know, they never went to church. Now they come to church and now they're, you know, attending Bible study, which is, you know, probably another next step. I really think that's very innovative because a lot of times where I hear about churches, everybody's talking about attendance, but I don't think a lot of people are necessarily talking about each and every step that one gets you closer to God, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I think that's amazing.
Yeah. So can you give us like three strategies that you've seen with some churches that you've worked with that have like worked with either attendance or tithing or anything?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest one for giving is just whenever you talk about giving at your church, tying it directly to needs that you're solving within your church or outreach beyond your church. I do a lot of promotions and communications with churches, and generally we like to come at it from information perspective. And ideally, you want to swap that for inspiration. When it comes to promotions, communications, announcements of all time, of all kinds at church, it's always inspiration over information. And so if you're talking about giving, sure, it's important to briefly mention the ways to give, but it's much more powerful to pair that with a story of life change that came directly from the generosity of the people that are in your church. And then, I mean, we can get into specifics. I mean, one of the biggest things that we're seeing with Instagram right now has to do with stories. And we always tell churches to use social for ministry, not just to promote ministry. And again, this is another paradigm shift that we're helping churches walk through because we've been doing in-person experiences for literally hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And so when we jump on social, our inclination is to promote our Sunday service, is to promote our midweek opportunities, to promote our small groups. But what's amazing about social is that you can do ministry directly on social. You don't just need to promote ministry. You have people's attention right now. So, you know, it'd be like if us three got in a room and we were all together and, or better example, right now we're talking. Mm-hmm. 1 to 2 directly. It would be kind of weird if I said, I'd love to answer your question, Jasmine. I'm going to get on a plane. And then once I get to your home, then we can talk. You'd be like, well, we're here right now. We can answer this right now. Yeah. That's how churches use social. So for instance, we were teaching this morning to a couple of churches where you can use Instagram stories and you don't have to have any design experience. You don't need any cameras or any fancy gear because it's all directly native into the Instagram stories interface. You can select the quiz. No, you know what? I'm going to make it even simpler just for the sake of audio. You can select the questions sticker and just say, how can we pray for you today in the questions sticker? And then at the bottom, use the text tool Instagram stories, put a little asterisk and just say, all answers are confidential. Mm-hmm. You can do something as simple as this and you can begin to connect to people digitally that are already following your church online, that are part of your community, and you can begin engaging with them. Because once they respond to the question sticker and be like, oh yeah, it's been a tough week. I would really like to receive some prayer. I've just been feeling a lot of anxiety this week. Well, now you can respond to them and just let them know, we received this. This is Pastor Brady. So grateful that you reached out. Just want to let you know that I'm praying for you. Now, when you see that person in person on Sunday, you can also just go up to them and be like, hey, thanks so much for reaching out. I prayed for you this week. How are you feeling? And you can continue the conversation that way. What we've found with digital platforms is that there's a massive group of people that are more introverted or don't feel as confident with their ability to articulate their thoughts and feelings. And so their default position is just to be a bit more quiet. And what's amazing is that the people that are quiet at church, which are the majority, there are people like me that will dominate the conversation because I love to talk. And then there are other people like my wife who are like, my thoughts and feelings are just as good as yours. I just can't articulate them as well, which makes them seem less valid or less smart. And so I just will remain quiet in a conversation. You give that person the opportunity to talk over text, over DM, and they get 10 minutes to type out exactly what they're thinking and feeling. And they don't have the pressure of a one-on-one conversation where they need to like say it all and come up with it as they're talking. And suddenly they feel like they can be more seen and heard. And now you've created an opportunity for ministry one-to-one on that platform natively where they were already spending time. You didn't need to ask them to come to see you. You went to where they already were. And now you've created an opportunity for ministry where you might not have even had that opportunity in person just because of someone's personality.
Wow.
That like is an amazing idea. And I'm like so excited about it.
Because okay, here's another one. Let's just do a couple more. Because okay, Instagram stories is amazing. Okay. So Instagram stories has a slider feature. I don't know if you've ever seen this, where you can say like, how fire is my outfit today? And then you can slide and you can use the praise hands as the emoji and you can slide it from left to right. So what you can do is you can use this slider feature. And again, this is right in your phone. You don't need any gear, $0 to spend. And you can use the slider feature. And then what you can do is you can use the draw tool and make four annotations across the slider. So if you break up this slider, which is a line, into four different groupings, one at the end, one at the other end, and two in the middle. And basically you just describe, annotate on each section what it means. So you can say, how was your weekend? And then you can draw one line at the very beginning of the slider, which would be like 0%. And you can say, tough weekend. On the other end, at the 100%, you can be like, best weekend ever. And then in the two middle ones, you can say like, oh yeah, I'm getting by, or oh, it's pretty good. And let people respond. For the people that respond with that, oh, it's a tough weekend using the slider, you can again take that opportunity to reach out to them because they've opted in and said to you, yeah, it's been a tough weekend so far. And they're probably not expecting that. But then you as a pastor and use your name, be like, oh, this is Pastor Alex. I'm reaching out. I saw that you said it was a tough weekend. If you want to talk, I'm here to listen. Otherwise, just know I'm thinking of you and I'm praying for you. You don't need to like get really like confrontational and be like, what's happening? Tell me. don't overstep your boundaries, but just simply know, hey, I saw this. Someone out there knows that you're feeling this way and is thinking of you. And suddenly, what church is still uniquely positioned in culture to excel at, which is providing community in a world of now increased isolation, now you're filling that need where someone may have just gone through their weekend alone, feeling isolated, feeling down, and now there's someone at their church that's out there thinking of them and praying for them. These are types of things that don't scale. You know, it's not the celebrity pastor who will reach millions. And there's nothing against those churches. We are very close with a lot of mega churches and with the celebrity pastors, and they do excellent work, but they're one in a million. Yeah. And there are so many churches in Chicago, as an example. And maybe there's one or two mega churches in Chicago with super influential global pastors. And then there's 10,000 others that no one will ever hear about. Well, the ministry that they're doing isn't less substantive, but if they try to copy what the mega churches are doing, they'll never be able to stay true to themselves. And a technique that I just shared with you, free, easy to do, it doesn't scale, it's not super sexy, but when you do it over and over again, that one-on-one connection creates meaningful change and moments in people's lives that they'll never forget. And that's what church is still amazingly positioned to do in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, and the thing that I find amazing, I always have conversations with people because I wouldn't consider myself to be like, I mean, I'm a, you know, social media native just because I was born in 1995, but I wouldn't consider myself to be an expert at all in it. But what I am traditionally at least okay at is I'm good at speaking and empathizing and interfacing with other people, you know, just like we're talking to you right now. And I'm always looking for that cool little neat trick to do on social media. And usually what happens is it comes back to, are you empathizing with this other individual? You're just doing it on social media. Mm-hmm. And what you said there was something that I would do for somebody in real life. And I just never thought to freaking do it over like Instagram. And it's like, it's so amazing that what you do is you don't ask churches to be something different. You're just telling them to take what they're already good at and then put it on social media. And like, even though I don't own a church, even in my business, I find myself sometimes like trying to figure out like all these different technical things that I can do when all I have to do is go on Instagram and use some of these features to reach out to individuals who are already paying attention to me and just let them know that I care, because that's what it really comes down to. And I think that's just awesome the way that you put that.
Mm-hmm. I spend so much time in the DMs for my business, you know, and we're, you know, multimillion in revenue and profit. And we have like, you know, 20 people on the team, but that's one thing I don't want to hand off to someone. It's still me in the DMs on Instagram. And I don't know how many of those lead directly to sales. I don't know how many lead directly to increased revenue. But what I do know is that when someone asks me a question, I have the ability to solve their problem in that moment, assuming they ask me something that I can help with. And I don't ever want to like pass that on, because like we're too big to manage that, because it's those types of things that like you can't always quantify them. And I'm a huge advocate of quantification, as I said earlier, with my measurement and growth strategies. But you know, sometimes those one-to-one interactions, they just make everything. And then someone will come up to me at a conference and they'll say, yeah, like a couple of years ago, I sent you a DM and you answered my question. And like, that meant a lot to me. And it was that thing that made all the difference, not necessarily a YouTube video that we published. And so it's, you know, it's both and.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So speaking of sales, you know, in the church community, a lot of people have it in their mind that like, oh, you shouldn't try to profit off of the church. And this is something like we kind of had to overcome within the last year, because we give like workshops at churches too. So when you're going for the sale, like what does that look like?
I mean, it's not too different from, I don't think, normal sales. It's, you know, it's identify a problem. It's then present a solution and then say, if you want to sign up for this, you know, go for it. We've gone to a lot more of a soft sales pitch in the last few years. I mean, you know, when we began our company, we were selling courses and information products. And we've pivoted in the last 3 years. Now our primary product is software. And software is amazing as a product because it can earn you a lot more money, the life cycle of a customer. You know, our life cycle, our lifetime value on our platform, which is called Nucleus, nucleus.church. It's a website builder, social media platform, and giving platform for churches. You know, the life cycle is like thousands and thousands of dollars because people pay a small amount every month. And then they stay for years. Mm-hmm. It's way more than we could charge for, let's say, an ebook or a single course. But the sales process is much slower. So there is no like, we're launching this course, it closes at midnight, sign up now and get a 50% discount. Yeah. It's 30-day free trial, no credit card required. Maybe we'll extend your trial. And then maybe you won't sign up at that time. And even if you do, now you're paying, you know, $49 a month, $99 a month. And so it has to work at scale. And so we've done both sides of selling with the more hard sales, direct response, and the soft sales, free trial, no credit card, like removing every hurdle possible to get people in the door. And we also give away like so much for free. Like 90% of the things that we do at Pro Church Tools are completely free and accessible. And so that's definitely helped with the problem of like, don't be selling to churches. You know, if a church comes to us and they're like, you know, well, we don't have anything, we can't pay you. I'm like, great, that's fine. I taught that Instagram strategy that I just told you in a video, go try it. and then they try it and it works. And then they try another one and it works.
Bit more money now.
Exactly. And they feel like, oh, I can trust you. All right. Well, next time we're ready to redesign our website, we're going to use Nucleus. Or if we want to get, done for you social media posts, well, we want Brady to make them for us because he taught us the Instagram thing and it worked. So let's go to the next level. So we implement those strategies.
That's awesome.
That really is amazing.
So can you talk about RebelGive? That's one of your software products, correct?
That's right. So that's our giving platform for churches. The simple idea behind RebelGive, Rebel like the Rebel Alliance from Star Wars. people get hung up on the name sometimes. It wasn't my idea to come up with this name, just so you know, but we went with it. And some people feel like, well, we're not trying to rebel as a church. And I was like, well, you don't want to be the Empire. Sort of my Star Wars nerddom right now. So rebelgive.com, the idea behind this platform is that, like, when you receive money as a church through a donation, through a tithe, through an offering, you should get to keep 100% of it. Because when people gave with cash and check, that was the norm. But as more and more people give digitally, then we get introduced to processing fees. And usually about 3% of every gift given digitally is taken away from a church and used to pay the giving provider, used to pay the processors. And more than 50% of giving in North America to churches is now done digitally. And so if you're a church and you're a church of 100, you're the average church, and your budget is, let's say, $100,000 every single year, and 50% of the people switch from online giving to digital giving, and now $50,000 of that, you're only getting to keep 97% of it, you know, that makes a meaningful difference. Or if you're running a budget of multiple millions as a church, you know, maybe you're a church of a couple thousand, you know, my accountant, I was on a phone call with him yesterday, our CFO, and he's like, yeah, man, you've lost $100,000 this year to fees. And I've been like, dang, that's a lot of money. And he's like, yeah, I mean, you made a lot of money, so good, but tough. And,
and buy somebody a house with your fees. Right?
If you're a business like me, we can build that fee into the price of our products. We know it's the cost of doing business. If you are a charity, a nonprofit, you can't charge more. And so you are the one that is suffering the most from this. And so RebelGive as a platform is unique. We don't keep any percentage of gifts that are given through our platform, which might sound like, well, duh, why would you get to keep that money? Believe it or not, most church giving providers will keep 1% of every gift given through their platform for themselves. And that 1% is like how they make their money on top of what they may charge you every single month. But then there are also these processing companies. They're the giant companies that make the machines that you swipe or you tap when you go to corner stores or restaurants. But they also power a lot of digital giving. And they're the ones that are making sure no one's credit cards numbers are getting stolen and no one is, you know, being taken and all their money is being rerouted elsewhere. They're important. We need them. They're called processors. They usually take about 2%. And so combined, 3% of your gift is being taken away. So we at Rebel Give, we don't take any money from your giving to keep for ourselves. And then that 2% from the processor, we pass that on to the donor. And we say, if you are the donor and you want to give to your church, that 2%, you're going to have to cover. We're not going to force the church to cover that. And then what we do is we offer them a way to give that's completely free. And that is to give from their bank account. Still digital, just as easy as giving from your credit card. But the amazing thing about bank account giving is that on RebelGive, it's 100% free, which is a new industry standard. It's a first. No one has ever done it before. And what that allows us to do is reroute millions and millions of dollars that is being given to churches away from fees. And so even RebelGive has been around for about a year now. We've, you know, processed, you know, tens of millions of dollars this year, and we've saved churches like more than $1 million in fees that we could have kept for ourselves, but it's been rerouted. And now that is going directly to churches. And so that's the idea behind the platform. Sorry for that long-winded response.
No, that's definitely works.
Exactly what we wanted. We wanted people to understand, you know, that as a charity, like, you know, you can't like charge more because people are giving. It's a donation. And a lot of people don't take into account the fees that the church is charged when they do give. So like, you know, there's people out there that are like, oh, you know, the church just wants all my money. Well, they're not even getting all of your money, really. Yeah, they're not getting everything that you're giving to them. So that was a perfect explanation.
Awesome.
And it's so crazy to listen to you speak sometimes, because it's like you're like you went to school to be a pastor, correct?
Yeah.
But you're also a very, very wise entrepreneur at the same time. And I think that's just a very, very mean combination. I really like it. But the next question I have for you is, so what are, I guess, some of your favorite churches to attend or follow on social media, just so our viewers and listeners get a chance to kind of follow some of those same pages? Because even as an entrepreneur, I find myself sometimes, like, I follow it for the word, but then sometimes people are just, like, downright, like, oh, this social media post is, like, ridiculous. It's, like, it's awesome. So sometimes it's very entertaining, and from a business standpoint, it's very fun to watch. So what are some of your favorites?
Sure. We published a video on this on YouTube at the end of February this year, 2020. You can just search Best Churches to Follow in YouTube, and you'll find it. If you want to go through the full list, the abbreviated version here, I think if you are just wanting to see what the really big churches are doing well, which again is a little bit of a dangerous game to play because you don't want to necessarily replicate their strategies. It's cool to like see like their designs and be inspired from a creative standpoint. But you know, if I ran a neighborhood specialty coffee shop, I wouldn't want to replicate what Starbucks is doing when it comes to their organizational decisions. And you might think, well, you're both selling coffee. Well, sure, I'm trying to serve my neighborhood. They are a multinational global chain. Yeah, it's similar to these massive churches. So if you want to look at their cool designs and their video techniques, great. Just don't necessarily replicate the strategies. Those churches would include Elevation in Charlotte and Stephen Furtick. VU Church in Miami is great. Zoe Church in Chad Beach in LA is also great. Transformation and Mike Todd in Tulsa. They're on a different level right now. And what's amazing about Transformation and Mike Todd is that, you know, Mike is a pretty new lead pastor, still in his 20s, I believe, late 20s. And him and Elevation, along with Rich and VU and Chad and Zoe, are four examples of churches that were founded in the digital age. And so they are doing a very good job of using digital strategies and aligning that with what they're trying to accomplish as a church. If you look to a lot of the churches that are maybe massive, but became massive before 2007, 2008, they gained their audience prior to this digital age. And we're seeing a lot of them struggle to parlay what they've done in the 90s and the early 2000s onto digital, because they kind of, you know, made their money, so to speak, in a different era. And so that's kind of fascinating as an aside. But then we also love to highlight smaller churches. And so if you want to look at what a smaller church is doing on social and excelling, Building 28 Church out of Clearwater, Florida, I believe. Building 28 Church, they're doing excellent work. Northwood Church, we're really proud of. There's a Catholic church, I believe it might be in Chicago. It's called St. John Cantius Church, and they're doing a really cool job with their storytelling on Instagram. They're a bigger Catholic parish, but they're doing really cool things with imagery and storytelling. Again, it's all linked in the post, so you can find like the exact handles on each social platform, but you can also just search those names on Instagram or Facebook and find them that way.
Cool.
Awesome. So we went through a bunch of stuff on this podcast episode. So what is the number one takeaway that you want someone to walk away with?
I think it would be looking at the way you measure church growth and health. It's the prerequisite that we always say. If all you want to do is maximize attendance, we think that that is a very vulnerable strategy, because church attendance is declining continent-wide. And there's nothing you can do to completely control that. That is a cultural trend. You can be doing the absolute perfect things as a church, and you might still see a decline in attendance. And so you have to recalibrate how you're measuring things, or otherwise you could be making really poor decisions. Because if all we're trying to do is maximize attendance, I mean, there are lots of things that you can do to get more people in the door, for one time doesn't necessarily, that's going to lead to long-term life change for them. And so that's the tricky world that we need to navigate. And the only way to kind of stay safe from that is to have a more holistic measuring system.
Absolutely. Awesome. So you're on the Abundant Culture podcast. So we feel the need to ask this question to all our guests that comes on, because we feel like we get so many different variations of answers to this question, whether it be in your personal life or in your business or even at your church. How do you feel like you spread abundance to the world and the people around you?
So the first 8 employees that we hired at my company were high school friends. We all went to youth group together, and we have been, you know, running this business now for 7 years, coming up on a decade. And we're really blessed to have been as successful as a company as we have been thus far. And I feel like we've been able to do really meaningful work. There's a J. Cole lyric that I always think about, and he says, like, what good is first class if my people can't sit?
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we flew to San Diego last week for vacation, and it was me, my wife, and 2 of our friends, and we've all flew first class. And, you know, it was like 3 out of 4 of our first times, because that's not something that we could normally do. And it doesn't always have to do with spending money and lavish experiences. One of the most amazing things is that we get to work every day with like our best friends, and the business environment, work environment that we have, it isn't high pressure. It's not like filled with stress or anxiety. It's very laid back. You know, we'll stop for an hour or two and just have theological discussions, and, you know, maybe someone will have to jump on a support call. We're not going to miss something like that, but we're very flexible and versatile. And I think it's one thing to have luxury and abundance by yourself and even in your own family. But when I think about an abundant life, it's all of my friends and family sharing in that, you know, like putting everyone on. And, you know, my wife and I bought a new house last year. It's like our dream home. We're really happy. You know, we have our dream vehicle. We have our dream lives in almost every sense. And now it's about how can like my friends and family get their dream lives as well. Because, you know, it's one thing to do it alone, but it's so much more meaningful when everyone's, you know, experiencing it together.
Absolutely.
That's the first time we actually heard that response. And this is
shows it's a good question. Like you said, you never know what people might say.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So we absolutely loved having you on the podcast. And I'm sure that our listeners, they think you're so awesome and super knowledgeable. So how can they get into contact with you?
Yeah, I mean, Instagram is the best way, at Brady Shearer, S-H-E-A-R-E-R. Believe it or not, it is a word in the Bible. One who shears sheep is a shearer. So at Brady Shearer on Instagram. And like I said, I'm active in those DMs. So if you reach out personally, I do my very best to get back to every DM that I get. So that's the best way to contact me. And then if you're trying to follow, keep up with what we're doing, YouTube, Pro Church Tools on YouTube is where all of our new videos go live. And then prochurchtools.com is the home base.
That is awesome. So that's absolutely amazing. Brady, I'm so glad you decided to come on to the Abundant Culture podcast. We totally appreciate the answer that you gave. It really resonates with us, because that's part of the reason we do things that do some of the things that we do, is because we know that we're going to reach a certain level of success, but we want to bring as many people with us as possible. And I appreciate all the knowledge and wisdom that you share with us, not only about running a church organization, but how to really grow that using the digital landscape. So we appreciate everything you share with us, and we pray that you continue to prosper, grow your business, and also grow the prosperity of the lives around you. So yes. Thank you so much.
I'm so grateful to be here. I had a blast.
Excellent. So that's all we have for today, folks. I hope you got as much value out of this as we did. Keep in mind, the only way we can improve is through constructive feedback. So remember to rate and review this episode. Also, you are not the only person that needs to know this super valuable information. So be sure to subscribe and share as well. Stay tuned for the next episode. And remember to always spread abundance. Peace.